The Adelaide Sustainability Centre is part of a network of community-led environment centres. We're all supported by the Adelaide and Mount Lofty Rangers Natural Resources Management Board. And I'm the first one that's been funded to operate in the city or the urban environment. The rest of them are in Gawler, Mount Pleasant, Barossa Bush Gardens, Adelaide Hills, Victor Harbour, Normanville and Wollongong. I exist really to look at how we can better connect to our local natural environment so we can learn more about it, and then how to live more sustainable, so how to have a low impact life so we can support the life systems around us.
So how long have you been running then?
We've been open probably a little over 2 years. So in that time we've had over 2,000 people come through to participate in our workshops, film nights, public talks. We've got an active Facebook page and a website with lots of information resources on it. So
what have been the challenges of setting something like this up in the city?
I think it's just getting our name and the awareness out for people to know who we are and what we do. So I'm finding that there's a lot of people that just want to learn more to connect with other people that are like-minded and doing similar things. And it's just growing that network. So it started off very slowly, but I think we're sort of, you know, it's gaining popularity.
I know that when I walk in, there's this sense of that this is an oasis in this part of the city that's quite different from really the rest of the feel of the city.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So we're located in the joinery. So that's the old Franklin Street Central bus station. And the ground floor has really been given over as a community space. So we've got gardens, there's a bicycle workshop, we've got meeting rooms and seminar rooms for hire and a big exhibition space. So, yeah, and it's constantly evolving. So there's people coming and going all the time, and it's really growing and getting a life of its own.
All right. Well, let's have a talk about some of the things that are coming up in February. But first of all, I want to actually jump over to March. So tell us about this repair cafe that's going to be happening sort of from March onward.
The Adelaide Repair Cafe, we were funded by the Fund My Neighbourhood Community Program, grants program. So it was great. There was a lot of people that voted for our project to go ahead. And we will be starting in March 31st. And then after that, running them every 2 months. So the whole idea is for people to bring in broken household items, and we will have volunteers from the community who will share their skills and knowledge in helping people to repair them.
So how will you organise this, considering that this is going to be the first one? Are you just going to wait and see what people turn up with? Because there's a huge number of things that, you know, could possibly be under this umbrella.
Yeah, we're quite lucky. There's a global network of repair cafes that are happening, and a lot of them are interstate and very generous with their time and to give us some information. So the idea is actually for people to bring in things that they can carry. To begin with, so we'll start small. And
so I take it that's a one person carry.
A one person carry, yes, one person. And we're actively recruiting volunteers at the minute. So what we'll do is each month in the lead up to the actual repair day, we'll put out announcements. So we have profiling the repairers we have. So we might have seamstresses and carpenters and electricians that week. So in that case, we'll say this week we can repair clothing, furniture and, you know, your electrical goods. So we want people to be able to come in and have something repaired or at least diagnosed, like it is fixable or it isn't. We don't want people coming in that are bringing in items that we don't have the skill base there to fix on the day.
Right, so it start with the skill base and then say, you know, bring your thing that's one of these.
Yes. Yeah. So we're hoping, yeah, we'll start small and hopefully over time we can evolve. But it's a really great initiative. It's quite exciting and it's bringing in a lot of young people and new faces to the centre that are keen to share. So looking forward to it.
Right. So this is a concept that's been started elsewhere. I gather it's one of those things that has sort of taken off and been quite successful, which is why it's moving into new locations.
Yes. And there's actually another one, Repair Cafe, starting up in Unley in April. So they'll be meeting on the fourth Saturday of every month at the Clarence Park Community Centre as well. So, yeah, it's got legs and it's growing, and there's the whole worldwide movement around the iFixit organisation as well with their repair manifesto and reverse engineering products so they can then publish or broadcast how people can repair things. So it's about if you own something and you can't repair it, then you don't actually own it, it owns you.
I find it quite fascinating that these skills that were so common and expected a couple of generations ago and then died out are now being rediscovered, and people are, you know, discovering the joy of repairing their own item instead of just trashing it and buying a new one.
Yeah, and half the fun, I think, as well is that connection to community, so meeting other people that can fix it. So while you're together and fixing something, it's all those other conversations that you have as well. But yeah, it's great. And, you know, you're reducing the impact on the environment and diverting stuff from landfill. So there's so many wonderful things.
All right, well, let's have a look at some of the other things that will be happening in February, starting with the One Big Home. This is a film and a shared potluck dinner. What can you tell us about that?
This film is a builder who was building all the large homes that were popping up on Martha's Vineyard over in the United States, was starting to look at what those large homes were doing to the community, how people were isolating themselves to create these big unsustainable homes. So we'll be showing the film, and before that we have a shared dinner. So people bring in a plate of food to share, we have conversation, get guest speakers in, and then we watch and discuss the film.
So again, I take it this is a pattern of things that you've been doing. What have you been noticing about the communities and the people that have been turning up to these sorts of events?
Oh, it's such a varied audience. So we've got multi-generational people from all suburbs all over Adelaide. So we're starting to see a lot of repeat attendees, which is great to see. So there's that real sense of new friends and old friends meeting up. So, and everyone's quite welcoming. So I was fairly new to the whole potluck community dinner concept. And each week or each time we meet, there's a different conversation and new people and new ideas. And I think you get to see that there's a lot of great stuff happening in Adelaide just through those conversations that you have with people and what they choose to share.
Yeah, there's definitely that sense of so much happening in these little corners that you really don't know about otherwise.
Yes, yeah, and I'm so fortunate with my role because I get to hear those little snippets and information every day. So it's quite inspiring. So the work we do is inspiring, but what other people are bringing to us as well is really exciting to see.
Because that can be one of the hard things if, you know, you are inclined in these sort of ways, is finding that community if you don't have any initial contacts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. And I think it's a great space to connect people at whatever stage of the journey they're on as well. So we've got some people that are living in sort of fully self-sufficient, sustainable homes, and some people that are just sort of trying to work out what to do with their recycling. And it's not a non-judgmental environment. I think it's great. People just want to connect and share.
Which I think is really helpful because there's so many, like, it's such a long continuum, mm-hmm. and people are sort of stepping onto it at all different places. Mm-hmm. If it was judgmental, then nobody knew could come in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we don't want that to happen.
All right. Well, tell us about this clothing as medicine with a natural dye workshop.
Okay. Well, that's a full day workshop we've got coming up that's looking at how the clothing that we can wear can affect and influence our health. So it's a day long practical hands-on session where you'll look at the local plants that are available and how they can be used either to colour clothes or to provide antibacterial or antimicrobial components to it. And yeah, just exploring that, playing with colour, learning about looking after yourself and the textile industry.
So what sort of interest is there generally around natural dyes? Because you've got another one that's actually been sold out about natural dyes.
Oh, yes, that's a really exciting one, actually. We've now sold out two of those workshops, but that one is looking at fermented foods. So the participants are coming along and learning how to make kimchi and sauerkraut, sort of looking at supporting gut health and eating those healthy foods. And then they take the food scraps that they produce while they're making it, so the cabbage leaves and the onion skins and the different spices, and they use that waste, which would normally go either into the compost or hopefully not the bin, and they're using that to then dye silk scarves to make a lovely piece of clothing that you can wear. So it's about repurposing and reusing, learning new skills once again, making something creative. Yeah, it's lots of fun.
Because these are certainly skills that have been really quite lost. Most of us have no idea if we walked out into either a garden or a patch of bush what we could use for a dye.
Yes. Basically, I'm learning everything and anything is, you know, can be used. It's just what results you're looking for, I think, are the surprising things.
Well, there's always got to be experimentation. You can't do this sort of stuff without experimentation, can you?
Exactly. And it's just an excuse to play, really, those ones.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so campfire stories. What's this one?
Oh, that's a wonderful monthly event that we host, and it was brought to me by a community member, actually, that was looking at how people can connect to each other through this, like our own personal stories. So at those events, people are encouraged to bring along a 5-minute story that is true to themselves. That's about the theme for the month. And I think coming up, we've got new beginnings. So stories of fresh starts. It could be a first day at a new job, moving to a new country. It's how do you tackle those new beginnings? And it's just an invitation to come along and share your story. So people are welcome to come along and listen, or they can come along and share. There's no pressure to talk. And then afterwards we share tea, coffee, cake, have a bit of a chat afterwards. But there's some amazing stories that come out.
So how long has this been running? Like, how many previous ones of these have you run, and what's it been like?
We would have had maybe about 8 or 9 now, and they're small. We've had sort of between 50 and 20 people coming along, but it's been things like looking at hope and optimism and celebrations, and we've heard some amazing stories of people that have come over as refugees from war zones. There's other people that have found a new connection to nature that they weren't expecting. There's people that have gone along and participated in the protests at the North Dakota pipeline. So yeah, it's really interesting. It's so surprising. And there's people that I've known for 2 years that I realised I never really knew at all until I'd heard some of their stories. So
yeah, I guess that is certainly a way to get like quickly past the superficial.
Yes, yeah, you dive straight into some, you know, there's been tears. Yeah, you dive into some really great topics, and you really get to the guts of it all.
Often it can be quite difficult. Like you sort of get trapped in superficial conversations and you don't know actually how to move beyond them.
Yes, and this actually gives you permission to not worry about that small chit-chat and actually share those true, deeper stories that we're all familiar with and connects us all and we've all experienced. But
and the fact that, you know, you've run sort of so many and there's still interest in them,
yes,
sort of says that you're on the right track and that this is meeting a need.
Yes, yeah. Oh, for sure.
All right, so tell us about the eco families who also meet once a month.
Okay, so that's a parents group for people with an interest in sustainable living. So I know when I first had my children, I found that it's lots of events and things out there for the kids to do, but not a lot to engage the parents or to help you along. So this is really a space for people to come and bring their kids and for them to do something that they're interested in a child-friendly environment. So we actually just had one this morning where we had a plastic-free snack sharing session. So people came in with recipes of muesli bars, crackers, things that are usually packed full of plastics and all that packaging and things that come along. So we brought along our recipes and shared them, tasted them all, you know, got the kids to taste them as well. And so coming up in February, we're doing a make-your-own reusable produce bag, so to go get rid of the plastic when you go to the supermarket.
Brilliant. All right, so how then can people find out what's going on? How can they sign up for your newsletter? How can they access you online?
Mm-hmm. We've got our own website, so adelaidesustainabilitycentre.org.au. So you can find a list of all our workshops there, and I usually try to put our workshops up there before I promote them anywhere else. You can also sign up to our newsletter. You can drop in and see us at the Joinery, which is 111 Franklin Street, Adelaide, and we also have a Facebook page.